This week on The Bachelor, the Right Reasons saga continues with a group date where the men spill their darkest secrets. Then, Katie has a one-on-one with a new fan favorite. Plus, was Thomas the real villain all along? All that and more. It's the most dramatic episode ever. This is The Bachelor.
Hello and welcome to The Bachelor Podcast. I'm Kay York City.
I'm Fat Carrie Bradshaw.
And I'm Jared Freed.
And we are back with episode 3 of The Bachelorette. But before we get into everything, I just want to make sure you guys are following us on Instagram at The Bachelor, live tweeting, memeing all night, and actually like low-key every day tweeting, just depending on what's going on. Chris, you're doing a great job at that. And make sure you guys are following us on Twitter at Bachelor Pod. We also have a newsletter that goes out every week called The Bachelor Breakdown, and we will give you all the scoop with everything that's going on in Bachelor Nation. So if you wanted to subscribe to that, you can go to betches.co/Bachelor Breakdown. This week's episode was heavy, really heavy.
Yeah, for sure. It was a, it was a hard episode to tweet because you can't make fun of a lot of the things that were happening last night, obviously.
Yeah, it kind of stayed to Katie's word. You know, Katie was going to be, this was kind of what Katie was, you know, planning. Didn't it feel like this is what she kind of wanted? She wanted to like get it out there, talk honestly, have hard conversations. Like it fits into, there's no moment that feels inauthentic to what Katie has kind of promised as the for her season, right?
Yeah, I think it feels a little more serious than I thought it was going to be, because you know you have vibrator Katie, and like I knew she would have these like tough conversations, giving me very much like Hannah Brown, like this is my season, like whatever, like very powerful woman vibes, but it does also seem like super, super serious. And I don't think I was expecting that.
Sorry, I just looked ahead on the outline and saw Jared's name for the episode.
Okay, then wait, let's get into name that episode, because now I want to know. I haven't looked at.
I just said make Michael the Bachelor. I couldn't come up with a good one.
Mine was Bachelorette, but make it therapy.
Yeah, and I had A Christmas Cruises, Nick Viall Solves Toxic Masculinity.
Which is in A Christmas Cruise, Nick Viall is, I literally have watched A Christmas Cruise, and he has, I think, one line, but he appears twice.
He's on the poster for the movie.
He's on the poster for the movie, indeed.
I swear.
And he has one line and appears once. And
it's a Hallmark Channel movie for everyone listening. It is a Hallmark Channel movie, and it's definitely like it, basically the whole thing. They're like, get him in here. We need to promote this movie, and he's on it.
It was, yeah. I actually went to Michelle Collins, the comedian's house, and watched A Christmas Cruise with like wine and cheese, because we thought it was going to be like a Nick Viall movie. And it literally, he has one line flirting with Vivica A. Fox, and that's it.
Why would they put him on the cover? That is the most bizarre thing. Like,
because it's false Hallmark. If they get anyone with a name, they slap them on the cover. It'll be like produced by Alyssa Milano's granddaughter, and they'll like put a picture of Alyssa Milano on the cover.
But
absolutely.
But why don't they just give him a better role? Just like,
I'm sure they had him read, and they were like, "Yeah, we're gonna make you the plant." You know,
like, yeah, or they had him like he actually filmed like a full starring role, and they just edited it down to one line.
Yeah, that seems about right. I don't envision Nick Viall being like the greatest actor of all time.
I mean, he acted his way through being on this season for 4 different times, like as if he wanted to get married. So I'm sure like
6 different times, which is even crazier.
How many times has he been engaged from the show?
Oh, none.
None.
He never got engaged. He tried to propose twice and it didn't work. But he has not been engaged yet from the show. But he does have a girlfriend now.
Well, for now. All right, before we get into the dates, let's
give a little synopsis of what we're going to be covering. Okay, so being near the show, Carl shadowboxes himself right into a corner. Mike the Virgin shows sex has nothing to do with big balls. At the beginning of this, Chris was like, how gay was that? And I was like, which part? But Nick Viall is cast in the least appropriate date for him to host. Thomas reveals his true colors, which are not so bright. Kate reveals more about how brave she is. And finally, Thomas officially becomes someone who will literally never be the Bachelor. Whirlwind of a show, that's for sure. But let's just like start off with this Carl rose ceremony, because we didn't get a rose ceremony last week. So we had to start off at the very beginning with, you know, touching back on the Carl gaslighting, which honestly, this is my favorite part of the show. Just watching all of this go down was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely started as a crazy episode. I don't know. I think Carl just kept like being like, no, I'm not going to say a name. Just to clarify things. I don't know. The whole thing was so bizarre to me.
It went too long. It was too long. It was too much. It was like, Carl, we get it. You got your moment. It was like, it was literally the equivalent of like a toddler, you know, screaming and crying at a birthday party to make sure everyone, you know, keeps their eyes on them. Like it just was like, and then he's saying, I'm not going to leave. You're going to have to drag me out. He like goes full Trump and you're like, dude, like, and then he gets kicked off and he just walks to the side, like, doesn't do anything. My big concern is, where was Caitlin and Tayshia? Why are they all that, like, where are they? They're supposed to be the gal gang. They're supposed to be involved. Like, they're not even at the rose ceremony. Like, and this has kind of been the issue.
How much did they get paid? I'm like, how much did ABC pay them to literally appear for a second?
Why are they in dresses? She has to go find them. Like at some point, like if you're gonna
that's
like,
true. She had to like go down the halls, being like, Caitlin, Tayshia.
Yeah, like hey. Like I thought they were gonna be like in like pajamas. Like I thought they were gonna have like the hat with the pom pom at the end. Like oh sorry, I was scrolling Instagram going to bed. Like I just don't understand. Like you have this whole moment where like Katie's like running away to go cry. The only one that comes to console her is Sensitive Greg, because he's like, I smell tears in the air. And then she's dealing with this, and it's like, you know, Katie's the Bachelorette. Like, let her be the Bachelorette. Like, let some other people come. Like, the host should come in and say, like, hey, what's going on here? Like, I give them some more power. Like, I understand, like, the Bachelor. And I blame the Bachelor. I don't blame Caitlin and Tayshia as much. I blame the producers because they don't want to make a mistake. And In an effort to not make a mistake, they do nothing. So it's like, give them some power. Make them the host. Who cares what people... Like, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Like, right now, it just felt like a rudderless ship. You know, Katie has to go find them. They come back to the rose ceremony. They're like, there's one more rose. Like, that's all you say. Like, you may leave now. Like, what?
Yeah, somebody needs to be steering everything. I mean, even in the other past episodes or every season of The Bachelor, Chris Harrison is always there at the rose ceremony, like, monitoring everything. So if somebody needs to be like, hey, can I, like, I need a second or I need to, like, step out. He's like, yeah, sure. Like, let's go. And then she's like, I'll be right back. And she's, like, walking down the hallway looking for, and even when they finally got to talk, it seemed very like disingenuous, like, what's happening? Like, I was like locked up in the back room getting my makeup done.
Their big advice, Caitlin's big advice is, well, the decision is yours and we back you up. It's like, what? That was like the, like, go for a walk if you feel depressed of like advice pieces. Like it made no, and I like Survivor. I've been watching Survivor on streaming, whatever, and like some old seasons, like during the pandemic, I watched it. Jeff Probst like comes in and like mixes it up. Like I would rather that. Like, hey, so it's like I would rather like Caitlin and Tayshia come out and go, hey, instead of like watching Carl just go, I'm not gonna say. Are you gonna say? I'm not gonna say. And then like now, like I'd rather Caitlin and Tayshia go, okay, what's the deal? Let's talk it out.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't you rather that? Like, that would be and actually entertaining. Like, instead of, like, the same thing we watched for 20 minutes. The whole beginning of the episode. And then you have to have, like, you know, Virgin Mike has to come up and goes, "We've all decided as a team that he's a liar." And it's like, they're like, okay,
Mike, you know what's better than sex? Standing up for a woman. You should go. You should do it.
Honestly, I think so. The men, essentially, there was a really funny tweet last night and somebody tweets like in all caps, "The men have unionized." And that was so funny because, I mean, they did. They were all like, "We got to do something and we all got to do it together." And so send Mike up. She'll definitely believe that. Like, he seems like he is with God and he will tell her the truth.
Well, the reason they have to do that is because on their own, they can't be trusted. Carl created a thing where, like, everyone is suspect. He's created this kind of thing. So it's like the guys are like sitting there like, okay, if we're going to like let her know a message, like it's almost like, you know, like they're like on the, in the great beyond, and they have to send a message through like a portal. And the only way to do it is to join hands to be able to make sure it gets to her. Like, and it kind of is a theme of what's going on throughout this episode. Like at the end, we see them, you know, assemble like the Avengers again, you know, like they, you know, they kind of do this a couple times. And it's interesting also the difference between the Bachelor and Bachelorette. Like the Bachelor, the women have no ability to team up in this way. Like there's like seven different factions that are like, well, they, you know, well, bullying is something maybe you know, is all up to the bullier, you know, like, and these guys are like, no, that's the dick. Get rid of him. It's over.
I do feel like this is the first season where it's so like that, like where the guys are so together. I feel like that hasn't happened in many a season where I feel like there's really only a few outliers who maybe aren't in on this like power force of men.
I mean, when Carl shadow boxes alone, that is the,
nothing says run for the hills like a man shadow boxing when he's mad.
Especially he has no one else to hang out with.
And anytime I ever see a man shadowboxing, it's usually like a guy on the street who just like tore his shirt off or something. So it's always...
Yeah, it's always like a show of like, it's the least tough guy moment.
Yeah. I thought that... And then when Greg, even when Greg's like, he should be coming to us as men, not coming to you. And I'm like, okay, Greg, yeah, I'm going to run off. I really want to go talk to a man. Bring me Greg.
But then he... But he did come to you guys as men, but like it wasn't what you wanted it to be. It was just him gaslighting everybody. So it's like,
yeah. Listen, he half came to them. This is kind of like, this is the world we live in. I mean, this is so metaphorical for like the person like that goes on Facebook and is like calling out everyone. You go, well, who are you talking about? And then like everyone. And they just like, you create straw men and that like,
you're right. It is when people like post on Instagram, like, if you're reading this, you made the cut, like shit like that. When people like block everyone that they dislike.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, so good for me. Like, and now like there's a lot of people or there's a few people that have messaged me and I just want to tell these people, you're an idiot. Justice for Carl, because Thomas, I guess he was talking about Thomas. No. It's like,
two psychos don't make a right.
Exactly. That is the most revisionist history I have ever heard. Like, are you like, oh, I guess he was thinking of Tom. Like, yeah, you and Carl are sitting at home going, I meant Thomas, in case you guys were wondering. Like, yeah, that was his whole plan the whole time. You name no one so that if anyone steps out, you go, yeah, that's the guy I was thinking about. Like, this is, anytime someone said justice for Carl, I felt bad about society and I wanted to like go to bed and never wake up. And I'm telling you right now, when you say stuff like that, because no one can deny you, like you could always connect the dots looking back. You can't looking forward. So when you go justice for Carl, like no. There's no justice for Carl. The guy was a douche. He was an asshole. He had multiple times to be able to name the person on a show where all of a sudden he cares about all these people. No. He's creating drama, then all of a sudden cares about the well-being of everyone in the house. Stop it. Stop. Just, you know, stop it.
I even made a tweet about it because I was laughing at this whole situation. I was like, Thomas, yeah, I think I could be the next Bachelor. And then it was like Carl sitting at home like, see, I told you. And then somebody goes, no, but he didn't know. I was like, I know. This is literally just like a joke. There's
exactly.
No.
Exactly.
it's literally just a joke.
to believe that, you go, oh my God, like, I need you to never be in society. Like, I need you to go away.
Imagine you're in the Bachelor Mansion. How would you stand out from all the rest and secure that coveted rose? Maybe it's a quirky and memorable introduction or crushing it at flag football. But what about a delicious smelling perfume mist that'll make you impossible to forget? Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Their fragrances are unique, complex, and turn heads. I love the smell of Sol de Janeiro. And I'm sitting here with Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist and Cheirosa 59 Perfume Mist. Both of them are equally great. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist is an iconic, warm, and sunny fragrance that takes you to a forever kind of summer. It's beautiful. It smells great. It takes you to a place. And then there's Cheirosa 68 Perfume Mist with notes of salted ocean air and luscious florals. It's all great. You know, the word delicious is correct. It makes a statement. You're going to love Sol de Janeiro. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code BETCHELOR10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com. Promo code BETCHELOR10. Soldejaneiro.com. Promo code BETCHELOR10.
Let's get into this fucking bizarre group date led by Nick Viall, which if it had just, again, where were, this would have been perfect opportunity for Caitlin and Tayshia, but we use Nick Viall. It made no sense to me. And they send the, so they get the date card and they start, it starts with them freaking out because the card wasn't signed Love Katie. They're all like, she didn't say Love Katie. How did it end? How did it end? And he's like, it ended dot, dot, dot. And they're like, dot, dot, dot. which was insane. And then they get there and it is like a...
an AA meeting.
Yeah, for lack of a better term, like...
what was the premise of the date? Like, what... because I was like, is Nick Viall here to find, like... honesty? Is that what this was about? Like, what was this about? What was the premise?
Okay, so what I think at the beginning, the way Nick like prefaced the date, he was like, it's time to like talk about things that you might not want to talk about, or like it was basically him wanting to call people out on their shit.
He says I'm here to hold you guys accountable.
Wait, yeah, which is like having a murderer come on to find the murderer. Like, yes. You know, like, it's like this guy, he's like, and the way Nick talked about it was such a high horse. He's like, did he say that he's heard rumblings of them? I've heard.
No, he was like, if it's time to, yeah, admit, I think he said.
Admit. Yeah, it's like some of you have been ghosting and cheating. And it's like, dude, Nick, you showed up to a season you weren't cast on. Like, you're like, are you?
Yeah, and you've been on 5 seasons and it never worked. Let's bring him back in for.
So it seemed like he was trying to just call people out.
Some of you have been responding to a girl's Instagram stories with fire emojis for 3 years. Like, I was like, what? Like, and it was the weird part was it went from like the definition of ghosting is so kind of bastardized that like, ghosting could mean anything from, you know, like, hey, after a first date, it didn't work out. I didn't call them again, to we had sex and I literally never spoke to them again. Like the range on that. And it was, what was interesting is, and it kind of told you a lot about the men. And as we're going to get to, which men took the opportunity to like really tell a story that was personal and something that they felt bad about. And the other, and which men were like, so I like Thomas specifically was like, you know, I've thought about being the Bachelor before, and I went on a first date the week before here, but otherwise, I'm a perfect soul. And you're like, you know, Connor B talked about alcoholism, like, yeah, like going to what? Therapy. Like, so well, it was kind of unfair to leave it so vague.
Was Connor B talking about alcoholism? Because that's where I thought it was leading. But then he was like, I did. And he like said all the things he did, but none of them involved like alcohol rehabilitation. But I don't know if that's what he was saying, or if he was like, I cheated on my girlfriend. A lot of them definitely cheated on their girlfriends without saying that they cheated on their girlfriends, where they're like, I led to trust issues because I couldn't really, you know, say what I wanted to say at all times. It was very, I felt repetitive for a bunch of them.
The most heart, you know, breaking one was Hunter's, I thought. Like, to me, like,
but also, what was he saying? I didn't really understand what he was saying.
To me, it sounded like he gave up on a marriage, when you give up on a marriage with kids, you're kind of giving up on this family life that could be good for his kids. That was kind of the takeaway, and that's a very real thing. Like, that's why, like, I'm watching this date. There's very serious subjects come up. I mean, at the end, Katie brings up a very serious subject that, you know, about consent and talk about that, and it's like, it's, you know, a great topic to bring up on this show, and they, you know, they give the Rain, you know, phone number. Like, that's a powerful thing. But in the beginning of it, you're like, Hunter has a real story to tell that, like, you know, that it sounds like he's learning from and trying to learn from. And then you have these other guys there that are like I would feel like, are you in a position where you have to be like, I ghosted once and I'm a horrible person? Like, you know, like, It was a kind of a tough spot, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah, because you had like, you had Hunter go, and then you have like a Connor B situation. But then like another example of one that wasn't like great was Aaron talking about his, and he was just basically like, yeah, we were in a relationship for a while. And like in the end, he was just like, it just didn't work out. And like, that's all it was.
Well, I think there's also like, how are you going to sit there when people are like, I gave up on my marriage. I like, you know, there's people with real traumatic past experiences. And even if like, you know, you haven't had anything as traumatic as the people before you, like, how do you, I think you're right, Jared. It's like a tough spot of what do you do and say? Like, you look like a dick no matter what because you don't have that trauma, honestly. Because even I'm like, oh, that guy's just going to say ghosted? What a piece of shit. But I'm like, well, I guess in his life, the worst thing he did was ghost, and that's why he had to say that. So it is like a rock and a hard place.
And it's like, you know, just like you said, like the, like, you know, we were talking about, like, what do you tweet about? What do you, you know, we're here to have fun with the show. And it's like, you kind of have to put the phone down for a second. You're like, okay, I'll let this go. You know, I can make fun of what they're wearing, but I can't really. Yeah. And it's like, but it, you know, I think these conversations are good on the show because, like, you know, you see someone like Katie, like, who's so sex positive, so strong. And then she talks about something in her past that's like so serious, and, you know, people can learn from that. But at the same time, it's like, then you're next to Nick Viall and you're like, what's going on? You know,
who introduces himself and he goes, for those of you who don't already know, I'm Nick. I was like, I'm sick to my stomach.
He's like, I can't.
Thing with Thomas is that, like, okay, he said he came forward and he was like,
Thomas, I think, is actually psychotic, though. I will say, between him and Carl, there's like dead behind the eyes, and the smiles are so calculated. Like, you can see him matching the other people he's talking to. It's very bizarre.
Well, and then there's also like a level of, he was talking about how he came onto the show and he really thought he was going to have some sort of platform. But then he was surprised because it's like, wow, this actually did work out the way I wanted it to be. But then he started getting a little too much in detail with talent, like confessing. He was over confessing to the point where he was like, yeah, I went on a date before the show started, like a week before. I'm like, I don't think we needed to know all that. Like, there's like a line, like, you didn't have to tell us that.
He seems like a professional liar, like a sociopath, because it's like he it always feels like he's covering up like seven steps ahead of where he's at. Like, later in the date, like, so they have like the cocktail party, and like, he sits with Katie and she's like, what are your red flags? You mentioned red flags. And he's like, he goes into some speech that's like, has nothing to do with his red flags.
Red flags? Well, I care too much. I have,
and then
too much money, and I don't know what to do with it. And I have too much love to give. What are your faults?
She literally says to him, you didn't answer the question. Like, and then he goes, and then he goes into some other bullshit, and then he leaves it. In his interview after leaving it, he says, I'm mad that I didn't nail it. He's like, you could tell, like, he's like, oh, I didn't get, my lies didn't hit.
He's like, in rehearsal, you know, it like went so much better. The dress rehearsal was so much better, you guys. You should have seen that.
Because his whole mindset is about winning. It's not about, absolutely, I want to get to know this person. It's about being the best, winning, staying on for as long as possible. So when he felt like he didn't nail that, it was because he was like, oh my God, like, I can't get sent home. I have to stay here because I have to win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very like interesting to watch the difference between him, Thomas, who, you know, is admitting. And I also don't think Thomas is so wrong for admitting that, thinking about being the bachelor. That's why Thomas is a good liar, because everyone on this show has thought about being the bachelor. Like, it's crazy. The idea that you go on going, what? I could be who? You know, like, that's
what's
crazy.
What's a bachelor? There's a one with a boy?
Yeah. Yeah. So Thomas's lie is really good because he's saying something that is icky to admit, but he was on the date where you're supposed to admit icky things. So he's like, who here? Like, he could have stood up and been like, who here didn't want to be the bachelor? But it got away from him. It's interesting to watch the difference between him, who's just doesn't feel authentic, and Michael A. Like, Michael A, like, Chris, you're like, make him the bachelor. I totally agree. Like, if he doesn't get with Katie, like, he's the bachelor. Like, there's no other answer here. So it's like, it's funny to think that like Thomas thinks he's pulling a fast one, and then you have like, it kind of felt like the Cinderella with like the evil stepsisters versus Cinderella, like locked in the house. Like, maybe I could be princess, and the evil stepsisters are like, no, it's gonna be me. Like, it feels very much the dynamic, you know? So,
well, yeah, I think it's like kind of when we're like, oh, he's like too good for this show, like in a sense of like he's too pure to be on the show, is kind of how I felt with Michael. But we'll get into Michael's date. Connor ends up getting the rose,
the group date rose, which they had another moment, you know, he pulled her aside and they had that like really sweet conversation and they kissed again.
They kissed a lot. It's very tongue heavy.
I thought he was going to poke her eye out with his nose when he came in for the kiss. It was too strong. It was a lot.
Kay will never speak poorly about her sweet Connor B, but I'm like, not. He seems very sweet and nice. There's something about watching them kiss that, happy pride, we still are watching these two straight people sloppy kiss.
I think Connor's like the good on paper guy. I think that's why he keeps getting roses. Like, I think he's like the one, he's like so nice. He's a math teacher. He plays the piano. He sings. Like, and I'm sure he's like cool with everyone in the house. I'm sure Katie's like, it is intoxicating to see the guy who's like kind of the center of things. And I think Connor is, that's the allure of him. It feels
like. But it's like, who wouldn't want to be with a math teacher, a sweet math teacher that can sing and says nice things to you? Like, obviously we all want to fuck a math teacher. I think it's like, I don't know. I think she thinks.
My problem is I'm not going for the math teachers that want to sing for me. So like, that's like my issue. I'm like,
Kay's hanging with Thomas.
But that's how they get you. I'm like, they get you in like that, and then they're like, guess what, I don't even teach math, I teach English, fuck you.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have a question about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I also wanted to just comment on Aaron and Katie when they're talking on the second part of the group date, and then Thomas is just like circling them with like a shark circling his prey, but he's like purposely looking flustered and like, yeah, I don't even know where I'm walking right now, to the point that Aaron's like, well, I'm distracted.
It was bizarre, and he interrupted the wrong guy. Aaron, I liked Aaron this episode. I thought he was like, Aaron hosted the show. Aaron did Caitlin and Tayshia's job. Like, he basically was like, we got to talk this out. Like, you interrupted me, and what the fuck? And Aaron, you know, I think that he had a right to do that. And he's like, you interrupted me, what the fuck? And he's like, well, my time, you know, you don't know. Like, then Thomas, the more he talks and the more he says, you don't understand what we have. And like, I like watching dudes call out dudes. Like they're, everyone there knew. They're like, you don't like her like that. Like, they were just like, that's not the truth.
Like, oh, yeah. When he's like, you said you loved her. And he's like, I said there's a fine line between fear and love. And I'm like, that's like, not what?
Like, he's like, Corinthians. You know, like he's doing like a speech. You know, like
Corinthians
at the wedding.
29:7.
They just, yeah.
It's interesting that he picked out Aaron to do that with, because I feel like any other guy would have kind of maybe sat back and like, sure, let it happen. But, you know, Aaron's like, he's ready to fight anybody. And he ended up, and Thomas ended up saying like, oh, well, my time is more important than yours. Like, because Aaron asked him, he was like, so you think your time is more important than my time? And he's like, yeah. He just said yes.
But that is the thing. That's why I was so happy he said that. You're like, you're waiting for someone to direct this show. And it's like, thank you. Like, he's right. Like, get this liar talking. You know, like, the more he talks, the worse it gets.
And then, yeah, they they quickly go to like a one-on-one that's so opposite of the group date.
When she flipped like, that car over, so her one-on-one date was with Michael A, and they were riding those like dune buggies. And when she flipped that car over at the beginning, I did not realize that was her in the car. I was like, oh, maybe it's like somebody driving the car up. It is her.
Oh, I didn't even see it.
She flipped it
and she's fine. And she's just like hanging upside down, and they're like rush over, and they're like, are you okay? She's like, yeah. But that's what happens.
How did
in
I
dune
miss
buggies.
That part? That's crazy.
But like, that's like a thing in dune buggies. Like, that's like a normal thing that happens. But like, I very much appreciated it, because they always do in this, and also they do it on Housewives. Like, the dune buggy, normally, if this was a different season, I feel, with not Katie, we would see an ambulance and all other things that are like, oh, a possible tragedy happens. And then it's really, they're like, okay, you're fine, you can go back to the date. Because you know how they always have like some kind of injury that potentially happens, and we only see like the ambulance in the preview, and then it's like a joke. So yeah, that's why when they're like, are you okay? And she was like, yeah, I'm fine. I was like, good for this bitch. We're not even going to pretend.
Good for this bitch. But they have the date driving around in the cars was like stupid. They touch on that for like 2 seconds. Essentially, that was just leading up to the conversation between Michael and Katie, which, man, the way he talks about things and the way he talks about love, Katie even said at the end, is just so genuine and romantic. And when he was like, yeah, this ends in an engagement, he was like, but it starts in an engagement. And I was like, oh my God.
Well, this guy has, you could tell, first of all, you could tell that he's thought about marriage. He's been married before. So, but he's thought about these things. Like, I think our normal bachelorette contestant is some dude who's like, yeah, I'll go on a show. This guy sounds like he's like, no, well, if I were to get married, then we would have to, like, he's actually thought down the road of the past 10 minutes down the road. I don't think a lot of people that come on the show are like this. And it was like, it was actually like, it felt like a full breath of fresh air, like hearing him talk. And again, how many times do people talk about their feelings on this show? And you're like,
okay, I've heard this before. This song and dance, like Thomas did it, like Fear and Love is the same thing. It's like, dude, shut up. Like Michael A, like the whole thing worked.
He also like he there's a difference, I feel, because his marriage didn't end because he didn't want to be married, which I think there's, I keep on making other references to other reality shows, but there's one of the Drag Race queens was engaged to it or was dating another one who died. And then like later on in the years and the seasons, they're like, just because your ex, and she's like, he's not my ex. He died. The relationship ended because he died. Like, I never wanted it to end. It's just, it's over because they're gone. And I feel like that is a huge difference with Michael A. He's like, I loved every second of being married. I want that. Whereas the other guys are like, I think I might be ready to like settle down.
But that's, and that's one of the best parts about him and how he was talking about it is when he told her at the dinner, she said, she was like, I don't want you to think that this is going to, she was like, I love that you love her so much. And she was like, I'll never like try to compete with that. And that won't make me feel, you know, all these different types of ways, because, you know, sometimes you're always afraid about like the ex-girlfriend. But again, like you said, Chris, this is not an ex-girlfriend situation. Yeah.
But that has to be still tough, I feel, because even when she said that, I'm like, that's hard.
Well, that was like the interesting part about it is like, that changes the dynamic of the bachelor and the bachelorette. Like that immediately flips it over. Like, you know, if let's say he gets to hometowns, like her going to his hometown is a big fucking deal. Like she has to be sure that it, usually it's like, I, you know, the guy who's on the show has to be sure that he's not leading the bachelorette along. She has to be sure she's not leading him along.
Yeah.
Like in this scenario, like you go home to his child, first of all, the family that has all lost someone, you know, his widow's family is a part of this as well.
Yes.
Because they're involved with the child. So it's an interesting thing where it's like, because, you know, Chris saying that he should be the next bachelor. Like I was saying the same thing because, you know, just because, but I was like, I think it's more likely that he's the next bachelor than he's Katie's fiance for that reason. You have to be so committed. Like I wouldn't expect that of anyone, even if you came on the show to be the bachelorette.
Mm-hmm. And I don't even know how I would. I think anybody with a kid, I would just be so, I don't know if I could keep them strictly because of the pressure. I don't know if I could take that.
Especially in that regard, because it's not like the kid is at another parent's half the time or something like that. Like it's like, he's full time.
And also you're meeting on a show within 2 months. You know, you have to make this decision so quickly. Like, you know, I would be so afraid of the disappointment. Like just if I was in Katie's shoes.
There was one other thing that how he talked about his relationship with his wife. And he was basically like, you know, I have these feelings for her, but I'm excited to, he's like, how lucky I am to be in love. To be in love twice. And
I mean, the most positive perspective.
Yeah. And then also saying that he was like, but I'm also excited to see like how unique our love can be. And like, I was like, Jesus, man, hello.
It just, yeah. I mean, if it works out between him and Katie, I would be very surprised, to be honest.
Yeah. I don't think
just
it will, but
he's like, 2 months is so quick. And I feel like, especially in a situation like this, like that needs to be more of a slow burn. That's like
he was with his wife for 16 years,
and he has like that. I can't imagine. And she died 2 years ago, I think.
Let's say he becomes the bachelor. Let's like look ahead. How like I would assume that changes like how they cast it, right? Like, you can't have Queen Victoria on Michael A's. We wouldn't allow it.
Yeah. And like someone else with kids, even like something, I don't know. Like, I feel like a bachelor season, it would be a very mature bachelor season, if that makes sense.
I think that's what a lot of people have been looking for, though, from The Bachelor. Like, it does seem like there's a part of this audience that's like, when does this age up?
Well, we love
that's like, what they tried to do with Claire, and with then Claire. It just was like the most immature well, then, of
exactly.
seasons.
Exactly.
Yeah, they found the wrong candidate.
Yeah,
they
tried to do that with Claire, and she just it was more childish than ever. I don't know,
but and Katie does seem like genuinely into him. I don't think she's keeping him just because she like feels bad or anything. I think it will get to a point where she's like, oh man, I have stronger feelings for sensitive Greg than I do this amazing single father. Like, I have to send him home before it gets too deep.
Well, honestly, Michael, I don't think I could be stepmom, but I love you.
How about the ass grab?
What ass grab?
They're making out. He goes straight for a butt grab. You know, like, he's got a little... Guy's got... Listen, Michael A ain't all nice. He's got a little spice. Michael A is, you know, it was interesting to watch. You know, he has these moments where you're like, totally, you're like, good guy, seems awesome, like really authentic, and then making out, and he's like,
and you're like, and he fucks good,
yeah, and this guy, he's grabbing an ass, like, oh, you go, Michael A, yeah,
good for Michael A, grab that ass, bitch.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Okay, so next morning we move on, and this ends up being a whole Thomas series. And at the end of it, Hunter ends up calling Thomas out, like straight up. And you could tell Hunter's been thinking about this for a while, and he finally just lays it in. He's like, did you want to be the bachelor? Like, yes or no? And the way Thomas was answering those questions, we talked about this earlier, was so dodgy and so shifty, because he was apologizing, being in like a way that like Lea Michele apologizes for bullying people, like I'm sorry that it made you feel that way, because that was not my intention. It's like, this is, we're asking you a question, just answer it.
Yeah I mean, I feel like the Thomas stuff is, we went straight from Carl to Thomas. And I'm like,
but Katie doesn't see it at all, because she's just like, I'm just happy that you're here.
She's very easily like, I'm like, what are you doing? You're falling for his, like,
I thought she did for a second though, because she was like, you're not answering my question. But then it goes back to, I'm just really happy that you're here. And I'm like, no.
I mean, Thomas is such a liar that he goes, you know, the house that we would buy together. The like, remember that? He's
charming. He's very
charming.
He's love
bombing her.
He's doing, I call him the we shoulds. We should get a house. We should go on vacation. We should do, and you never have to like pay.
Oh,
you know,
I'm so quick to fall for that. I am so easily manipulated.
People fall for it. It's you know, Katie's not alone, you know?
It's really so true. Because even as I'm watching him do that, I'm like, I would also be exactly doing what Katie does. Like, try to, for a minute, be like, no, like, this isn't working. You're being rude. And he's like, but baby. And you're like, oh, God. He called me baby.
He's also good looking, got height. He's got major height. He's as tall as Aaron, I think.
Good face, too. Good skin. Everyone's skin, can I comment on this? Because I thought, I'm like, is it the TV? Like, everyone's skin looks so good in this episode. And I'm like, is there something in the New Mexican air that, like, makes your skin amazing?
New Mexico lighting. Like, it always seems like it's sundown there.
It's always golden hour.
True. Yeah. True, true. But, yeah, I mean, as much of a liar as Thomas is, he is hot. I guess we're getting into these like categories now, but he's definitely on my paradise list.
Yeah. Well, let's get into the, we kind of end the episode just like with a cliffhanger.
Well, it basically ends with them being like, do you want to be the Bachelor? And like Tom is like, yeah. like 2 seconds in.
Thomas did very much is like, okay, I'm going to go in. I'm going to admit I'm there for the wrong reasons, but now I'm in love and I'm there for the right reasons. And then I'm going to realize what a great process this is and the system really works. And then the producers are going to want to put me on because I'm an advocate for how well this system could work. And I was not a believer at the beginning. Like, it all feels so contrived.
He chose the best lie he could choose. And it was the only way. That's what liars do. They choose the road in front of them that is opened up for them. He saw, okay, I've admitted that I want to be the Bachelor, but and he tells that story. So like I do think he should have said to them, hey, who here, you're a liar if you think, but that would take him taking a chance. He doesn't take chances. He just,
amongst us, does not want to be the Bachelor.
Yeah.
I mean, that's that.
All right. So that brings us to our current top three.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I said Connor B because she seems to really be into him. Sensitive Greg because she still seems to be really into him, even though he really wasn't in the episode. He was in it just enough that I think she still has him on the top. And then Justin's just like hot and weird. And so I put him because I feel like we haven't discussed him because there hasn't been that much with him. But he seemed like his facial expressions. And Kay, you like tweeted all those screenshots of his face.
I'm gagged.
He's so animated with everything. Like, just watch his face when anyone's talking, and he's like, it's very distracting to a point where I'm like,
it is.
Calm down. But it's weird. I like it.
I mean, whoever was in charge, whoever was in charge of filming him understood the assignment. Like, they understood what they needed to do and what was going to be good, because that was the best part of the show, was just watching his reactions. That was so funny. For my top three, I said Connor B, Michael, and then Thomas. I still think she's there for Thomas. She really likes him.
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought, I think Thomas, Sensitive Greg, and Michael A. Thomas, she's buying it. She's wary, but she's buying it.
She is. And I forgot about Greg for like a second because he was only at the beginning when he went and comforted her. But yeah, I guess he's definitely probably still around in the
old trembly voice. He never speaks with a regular voice. It's always a. He sounds like an airline pilot.
Over your left, you can see the Grand Canyon. You know.
Okay, how's Villain?
I take back mine.
You said Thomas. Kay, you made an interesting decision here.
I'll tell you why. So I was going to say Thomas because I felt like that was obviously the correct answer, but I kind of, I'm regretting my decision, but I'll tell you why I thought it at the time. So I put Aaron down, but I just feel like Aaron is sort of, there's always something, Aaron's always wanting to cause some sort of fight, or there's some sort of drama around Aaron. There has been every single episode. And yes, Thomas is like the main villain, but I still feel like there's some underlying stuff with Aaron that we don't know.
Oh, no. Aaron is 1,000% there for the wrong reasons as well, but he's just less obvious about it. Aaron reminds me of Jordan. Was that his name? Not Jordan. The model who was on Paradise. You're like friends with him.
Oh my God.
Oh, he's getting married now.
What's his name? I think it's Jordan.
Jordan Kimball.
Yes.
Jordan Kimball, yeah.
his vibe is Jordan Kimball-y.
I feel like I've met an Aaron before. Aaron's like the male version of the woman who says, I'm just sassy. I'm
he's the male MJ.
I'm sarcastic. My love language is sarcasm.
Because there's a male version of it where it's like he's nothing can just be said and left alone. Like, it feels like he has to unpack everything. And it's like, even if he makes him a douche or not, you know, like if you just say, yeah, that was a fun date, he'll go, why'd you think it was fun? And you're like,
you're right. It's almost like a layer of like social grace that he doesn't have. My brother actually is kind of like my younger brother is so honest to like a fault that like there's times where I'm like, you have to stop talking because like he'll just say insane like people. I once was at a store with them and then like in your email and he's like, for what? And they're like, well, it they send you like the discount things. He's like, I don't want to give it to you. And I'm like, Sam, just say it in a nicer way. You don't have to like, and it is kind of how Aaron's just like, what? No, he's I loved when he was like getting to the point where he was a psycho, or he said he was a psycho, and he's like, yeah, that guy's crazy. I mean, he's like a sociopath. You know what? He's like a psychopath. I think he's a psycho.
Then he goes, ask his mom. Like, even his mom thinks so. I was like, what are you, five? What's going on?
That's weird.
But anyway.
All right, would you rathers? All right, Chris, you go first.
I said, sit next to Carl or sit next to Thomas on a cross-country flight? And they're going to be talking.
I would sit next to Thomas.
I don't know why I said that. Thomas, too, because...
Thomas, the
Thomas
eye candy?
Thomas is the guy that you fuck on a plane. You know what I mean? Never see again.
Yeah, you're never going to have a bad or awkward moment with Thomas. I feel like, Carl, that you'd be like, did he just tell me to... You know, did he just tell me that I should keep my eyes on the prize?
Yeah.
Carl's doing inspirational quotes that you don't want to hear. No, Thomas at least.
Yeah, you're right. Carl Thomas talks to himself on the plane and you're like, wait, are you talking to me or are you talking to yourself?
Thomas, he's always the receiver. He never puts himself out front. So Thomas would just agree with you the whole flight. It would be an easy conversation.
Okay, so would you rather have Nick Vial be your therapist or Carl be your life coach?
I feel like I would pick Nick Vial just because I would love to sit down for an hour and be like, why are you qualified to tell me that everything's going to be fine?
I think they're both equally qualified to do those things. Like, Nick Vial should never be a therapist and Carl should never give anyone life advice.
Yeah, Nick Vial would spend the whole... I would take Nick Vial just to see how many times he would reference how many followers he has and how much he made on the therapy
and
session.
His podcast. Actually, I'm recording this for the Vial Files. I hope that's okay.
Yeah. Nick Vial loves his own numbers. Just ask him.
I wish I loved myself as much as Nick Vial loves himself. All right, Jared.
Have Tayshia and Caitlin have your back at your greatest time of need, or have Katie drive you in a dune buggy?
Katie drive me in a dune buggy.
Honestly, same, because she like was having fun.
Yeah, I feel like it would be fun. And
yeah,
I feel like I couldn't, like, if I texted Tayshia or Caitlin, they would honestly wait. Neither of them would reply in the group chat. And one of them would have to say something. And then the other one would reply right away being like, oh, my God. You know what I mean? Like, yes. They're waiting for the other person.
You're
the
first so, one would. You are would, so right.
It would take 4 hours for a response. And then the response would be like, go with your heart, sweetie. And then the other one would heart that message.
Yes.
And be like, here for you with another emoji.
Totally. I was half expecting during the dune buggy date for them to be on a mountain like a mile away with a microphone going, we're here for you, girl. Like,
but they
like,
weren't there. It's so strange.
They weren't even at the date. It's so weird.
Tayshia's Hyundai commercial was longer than their appearance on the show.
And I bet the money from that Hyundai commercial was more than her appearance on the show.
Mm-hmm.
God bless her.
All right. Paradise picks. I have Carl and Thomas. I think they're going to be, I mean, I don't know if they're in paradise, but that's who I want to be in paradise.
I can't deal with Carl being on there. I think Aaron, Hunter, and Virgin Mike. I would love to see Virgin Mike on paradise. Just because every time he looks at someone, you talk about reactions, it always seems like he is just in total shock by how these people are acting.
Oh, yeah.
Like, every time they flash him, he's like, they shook hands before, you know, marriage? You know, like...
He has tears in his eyes from stress at all times, also.
It is. He does seem very stressed.
Virgin Mike and Heather Martin from last season.
Oh, yeah.
That is a good couple.
Oh.
I like that.
I'm going to get into
I'm
that
a good
in
matchmaker.
A second.
The fact that Heather Martin is inexplicably constantly hanging out with Matt James' mom.
This is what I was going to say. Their families.
Wait, what?
Yes. If you go
I don't. Matt James' mom is always with Heather Martin and posting photos on Instagram.
Heather Martin and her whole family. Like every picture that they've posted in the past week has been like Matt James' mom and Heather and her family.
Like I think they went on vacation together. Literally, they're ski jetting on a lake.
Matt's mom's birthday.
While Matt is with Rachel in New York. So I don't think him and Heather are dating or anything.
Well, it's not like, do you think they, I mean, that would make more sense for why she showed up on the show. Do you think that there was like a family like relationship or is this new? Oh,
but the way they played it off last season was that as if Hannah Brown was like, oh my God, I think you'd be great with him. And she's like, okay, cool. And that's how it was.
Yeah, they said they never met in person before. Remember? Right.
And now she's like part of the fan. It's very weird. Also, for Paradise Picks, I'm going to go back to mine really quick. Carl, imagine him and Queen Victoria. Like, I don't know.
I feel like two delusional idiots.
They're like, we don't know why all the marine life around Mexico is retreated and is like...
They would completely take over Paradise and like wreak havoc, I think, like together.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that could be another good couple.
I think it's a great couple.
It's like, yeah, I mean, I think we'll definitely see Aaron and Thomas in Paradise. And then I said Michael, just because I want to see him with someone, but hopefully he'll be the Bachelor. I don't think we'll see him in
Virgin
Paradise.
Virgin Mike.
Well, I meant
Daddy Mike?
Michael. Daddy Mike, yeah. But I mean...
One of the Michaels who has definitely had sex and one who hasn't.
And that's how they'll introduce them both when they're on.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cringiest.
I said Nick Viall's entire section. When he introduced himself as if everybody has already known who he was, and if you didn't know who he was, like, you were living under a rock. That was so fucking crazy to me. But I also... I feel so many types of ways about Nick Viall, so I might be biased, but I thought that was just weird.
It was
I'm
also
done
the
with
way
him.
He would like look and he would be like, Hunter, hello. How are you?
And he felt nothing that entire like Katie's crying, all the guys are like super serious, and Nick Viall's like doodling on a notepad, being like, all right, next.
He's like, yes, yes. Thank God I was here. Thank God I was here. Like, I don't know. I said Mike's speech just because he was so nervous. And it was like in Braveheart right before they like charge for the final big fight. And Mike's like eyes were so red. And he's like, so the guy said that, so it seems like maybe Carl would not be here for the right reasons.
Mike was the perfect one to send there. He was the perfect one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're like, who would she trust the most? The guy who read the Bible last night. Yes. We're going to send you one.
The virgin with the Bible.
Mine was Thomas. Everything Thomas was cringy. Just every... when it's cringier because she's falling for it a little bit. That makes it even cringier because you're like, dude, we see what you're doing, man. Like... And the only reason like a lot of guys see it is because, you know, go back to that, like, you know, the Nick Viall section when he's like, have any of you ghosted? Like, have any of you love bombed? Like every guy in there has said something to a woman that like was a little too far ahead of where they were and
100%.
Knowing what they were doing. And Thomas is doing that. You can feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Jared, it's your minute.
I want to take this minute to say that Albuquerque was not the choice. This was the locale. Every time they show overhead shots, it's depressing. Any time Katie goes off to a fence to think about things, it seems like she went to like Skeleton Alley to go think about love. It's just nothing about the coloring of the place or the look of the place tells me romance at all. Every scene has three vultures circling above, ready to just come down and eat the sandwich out of their hand. And after three episodes in Albuquerque, I don't know if I can look at this sepia tone for another three episodes. It's like really a tough look.
Sepia tone.
The sepia tone is sending me. I just don't know why they're not. How are they?
This whole, I mean, it looks like it's under the worst filter you've ever seen. It's just, it just doesn't. I don't know how they chose this place. I'm not sure which type of deal they got, but like, we want pools. We want vacation. We want, you know, that's why Paradise. Like, actually works. Like, we, like, they should have done these episodes in Paradise. Like, I know they keep, like, you have to keep Paradise and keep the Bachelor and the Bachelorette, like, but like, it's, and I'm sure this is the last season we're going to get where they don't travel the world. And that's a big part of the show that we're kind of missing lately. But it just, I don't know how they ended up here, but this ain't the spot.
I was going to say, if I was a contestant and I got like, okay, it's in New Mexico, I'd be like, ooh, it's going to be a scorcher and bring nothing but like shorts and t-shirts. And then it's been freezing the entire time that they're there.
Yeah, I would literally show up with like two Band-Aids and a cork and then have to like buy a...
A lot of them even look like they picked up clothes there. They're all like with these big jackets that look like they're out of Dumb and Dumber when they go to Aspen.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
Also, wait, do you guys think that for Michelle's Bachelorette, do you think they're going to be back at Bachelor Mansion?
I hope so.
I do too.
I hope so too. They're still casting it from all the commercials where they keep on saying that.
I just like, I miss the Bachelor Mansion. I do. The last time we saw it was, I think, Listen to Your Heart.
Ugh.
Oh, really?
Was
I missed the
no.
traveling. Did they start there? No, they started in Vegas, I thought.
God, I can't remember.
No, they didn't. Because remember, they drive to Vegas on those tour buses and Listen to Your Heart?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I hope it's back there because I think it's time.
Yeah, and I hope they travel. Like, even if it's not international, like, let's go see some U.S. cities. Let's do some different stuff, right?
Go to Cincinnati, like, Ohio, City of Love.
Why not? Have chili on your pasta. Let's see it.
I love you. All right. Who gets your rose this week, guys?
I said Michael, and also I think Katie had a great week as a bachelorette in general. I think she is doing well as the bachelorette.
She's doing every job.
Yeah, she's doing great as the host and the bachelorette.
She's the producer, though. Yeah, the host. She's
producing. You know, she's editing. She is literally...
She's a therapist. She's giving out information for people who are dealing with, you know, sexual assault. Like, she's really doing it all. Like,
she's question mark styling herself, doing her own makeup. Like, somebody, the ponytail when she was in that silver middle armed cut dress. First of all, that silver dress is a hate crime.
It was so bad.
That dress was horrible. Like, no girl wants a mid sleeve. It's not even like quarter length where it's like onto your elbow, but it's like in the middle of your bicep. That is, no girl loves that part of their body unless you're literally like Michelle Obama with like these arms of a guy. Like, nobody wants that. And her hair was slicked, was in this ponytail that wasn't even slicked back, and it had just like bumps, like as if she just like had a hair tie around her wrist and threw it back. Like, help her.
They definitely did have to limit down, I think, like costume and hair and makeup and stuff, just in general with because of COVID rules when filming.
God.
Because I know also like on Housewives, another reference, they like complain because they don't have any of their makeup and stuff when they're there because of the rules with filming. She's like, I have to do my own makeup. So I wonder if that's like...
She's also like a t-shirt and jeans type of gal, it seems. Like, I think why not do a rose ceremony where everyone's kind of like a little bit more cash? Like, why not have that? Like, I'd like to see that. Why not?
I think that's because that's Paradise's vibe. That's Paradise's vibe. You show up in your swim trunks and a top that is just way too unbuttoned. I don't know. Okay. I also said Michael for my rose this week. I just really, the way he is so genuine and how he speaks about love is, I mean, incredible. Okay, so next week we'll be back again. Make sure, again, you are following us on Instagram at The Bachelor and on Twitter at Bachelor Pod. Rate, review, and subscribe. Share on your Insta story. We want you guys to share and talk about us. Let people know that you are listening. And you can follow me at KURK City.
And me at Fat Carrie Bradshaw.
And I'm at Jared Freed.
Okay, so until next week, we will see you guys then. Bye.
Betches.